Join Tip FM this Saturday night from 8 p.m. for the Galty Sessions. Therese McInerney will play the best traditional Irish music and song. She will also have latest releases and news from the world of trad and folk.
The Carrick and Shore Regeneration Plan is an ambitious tourism and heritage regeneration plan for the town. And with the benefit of your input, we've developed a design towards realising those ambitions. You're Carrick and Shore. We've heard and listened to what you've said. So join our webinar on Wednesday, June 16th at 7 o'clock and we'll walk you through. You'll find a link at yourcarrickandshore.ie.
At Abbott, a global healthcare company, you can build a career with a purpose while helping families live fuller, healthier lives. Our vascular business in Clonmel is a world leader in the manufacture of life-changing medical devices, and we are growing our team. We're looking for R&D engineers as well as quality, process and manufacturing engineers to become part of our global community of dedicated employees. Make your next career move today by visiting jobs.abbott or visit us on Facebook or LinkedIn. Abbott, we build careers and change lives too.
Treat Dad this Father's Day with Aldi's 100% Irish and specially selected multi-award-winning steaks. Crystal award-winning three-star Black Angus fillet steaks, only £10.99 for two. Or the oh-so-tender Crystal award-winning three-star Black Angus ribeye steaks, only £8.99 for two. Two-star Black Angus strip loin steaks, only £7.99 for two. And not forgetting the three-star Black Angus sirloin steaks, only £6.99 for two. Aldi, every day amazing.
You might think you know Waterford, but maybe it's time for a closer look. Race against the wind as you cycle the Waterford Greenway or uncover the trails that loop the mystical Cumara Mountains before taking to the coast and diving into Tramore's salty surf. Stroll the cobbled streets and soak in the culture, craft and food of Ireland's oldest city. Waterford, yours to explore. Keep discovering at discoverireland.ie.
Tip FM's Tip Today with Fran Curry.
In association with Slattery's of Pecan, Tipperary's main Peugeot dealer. Slattery's Garage Pecan, the name you can trust for over 50 years in the Premier County. Slattery'sGarage.ie.
1800 938 007. Somebody accusing me of putting out conspiracy theories. There you go. Ericsson seemingly did not have the vaccine and has not had COVID, according to the interim manager, the Danish manager. Was reported on Reuters and other reliable news outlets, it says here. Okay, thank you for that. Okay, and questions for Pat, we'll store them up and we will bring them to him next time around, even though I think he covered most of what you're saying to us today. 1800 938 007. Now, Dan Breen was married on the 12th of June in 1921 during the War of Independence to Bridget Malone, a Dublin common man woman and a sister of Lieutenant Michael Malone, who was killed in action at the Battle of Mount Street Bridge during the Rising of 16. His best man, of course, was Sean Hogan. We spoke about this on the programme yesterday. I'm glad to be joined now by Niamh Hassett. And we met Niamh on the programme before. Niamh is an author and an historian as well. Good morning to you, Niamh.
Good morning, Fran.
And lovely to talk to you today. You had a kind of a celebration at the weekend because, of course, 100 years on now from the famous wedding.
Yeah, we did, Fran. I suppose 1921 was a bleak year 100 years ago for Ireland. All the centenaries that we were remembering were sad ones, whether they were ambushes or the deaths of IRA men. But this one was one filled with joy. So we thought we'd take the opportunity coming out of lockdown ourselves that we might remember a happy occasion amid all the sadness of 1921.
And you did so at the house where the wedding actually took place, I believe, Niamh.
It was the house where the reception took place.
Yes.
So Breed and Dan got married in Purcells of Glenagash, which is sort of between, I suppose, New Inn and or Powell Mucca and Rose Green.
Mm.
And then they moved over just a couple of miles over to Milltown Moor, which is near Rathsala. So it's right beside where the brigade's HQ was. You could actually see with the site of the dugout, the 71, the main brigade HQ dugout, from the where the reception was.
And was that why the choice was made for that particular venue, that there would be an element of protection there, Niamh?
Yeah, well, you know, there were family ties were very strong there. So the Davins was the farm where the dugout was. And Mrs. Luby was the Davin herself, and that was where the reception was. And the Purcells over in Glenagat were also related. So it was the ties of family, and it was all in that central area. Now, there was a huge security presence. The two flying columns came in. So you talked about that yesterday. Mm. The two flying columns came in to do security, and the local battalion as well, the 1st Battalion. So Saturday was really about remembering the ties, the family ties within the area, that long history, which, you know, we remember the land war, events there in the land war, and the 1st Battalion and what they did during the War of Independence, as well as the wedding, which was, you know, sort of the pinnacle of the ultimate proof of the control that was in the area, the Republican control in the area. There, you're encircled by encampments of British military, and yet that's where they chose to have their wedding. Quite remarkable.
And it is, and when you look at the photographs, they look remarkably relaxed, Niamh, when you consider the danger that was out there. I mean, you know, Sean Hogan was his best man. He was on the run as well. They look pretty chilled out, you know. Is it true that Dan had his pistol by his side at all times during that day?
He certainly posed with the Mauser, which is quite a big gun. I doubt he carried it all day, but he certainly posed with it in that iconic wedding photo. And there's one of Sean Hogan holding his gun behind his back. So there was certainly plenty of guns at the wedding, but it was the main security work was done in the perimeter all around. There was no way anybody was getting through. The reception, it was, you know, Milltown Moor is on a little bit of a height. You can see literally for miles around. There's nobody come to approach you without you knowing that. With all the lookouts they had and everything, they were very secure. They would have had plenty of time to get away.
Can you tell me a little more about Bridget Malone?
Yeah, she's a very interesting person from the period. Her whole family, you mentioned her brother was killed in the Battle of Mount Street Bridge. Now, I mean, that was an incredible operation. 17 volunteers held off hundreds and hundreds of British reinforcements from getting in from, well, what's now Boonlera. At the time it was Kingstown. They're literally coming off the boat to quash the rising in Dublin. And this group of 17 men, just from their positions, they acted as snipers. And as the reinforcements were crossing the bridge, they just picked them off. It was the highest casualty count on the British side of the rising. But so Tom was one of the leaders there. And then his sister Anya, Breed's sister Anya, was shot in the hip herself in the rising. So she was carrying a dispatch from Stephen's Green to Jacob's factory, and she was shot. But all during Easter week, Breed also helped. There were guns at their house. They were moving them. They were doing all that, you know, the usual carrying dispatches. Herself and Anya then worked with the squad during the early days.
This was Collins' squad, of
this
course.
This is Collins' squad up in Dublin.
Yeah.
And, of course, we know the big four, being Sean Hogan, Dan Breen, Sean Tracy and Seamus Robinson. They really were the founding members of the squad, you might say, because these men were actually battle-hardened at this stage, whereas the squad, on its formation, they didn't have that experience. So they came up to Dublin to give that experience to the squad.
We spoke about Sean Hogan yesterday and the day before, in fact, on the programme, and I was lucky enough to get to speak to Sean's grandson, Tracy, on the programme yesterday as well. And it was sad, I suppose, the difficulties that Sean had in later life. What about Dan's later life, Niamh?
I think Dan, you know, I think it really depends on your mindset and your own personality. I think Dan was at peace with what he did. I don't think he really, I think he accepted the reality of war.
Yes.
And I think he was at peace. Breed, on the other hand, I think she may have carry trauma with her. I suppose everybody carries the trauma. It's how you deal with it at the end. I think it played hard. She seems to have been a more sensitive character.
Yes.
And I think it's certainly, to a greater or lesser extent, affected her afterwards as well. She seems to have, in her pension interviews, they said how nervous she was and that she was highly strung. So it's sad.
Right.
That
but you look at what she came through, and indeed her concerns about Dan must have been, incredible.
Yeah, but Fran, she was under fire herself during the Civil War.
Yeah.
She was down in Clonmel, and so she experienced that as well. For the women, I think the harassment, the constant harassment as they were walking about.
That's very interesting, Niamh, because it's really only very recently that that's been acknowledged.
I think it was in Dublin, particularly in 1921 late 1920 was a very dangerous place.
Mm.
And it was that constant menace that they had to put up with, not to mention the raids on their own home. And the Malone's home was constantly being raided
up
in Dublin.
Of course, yes. And when the Black and Tans raided homes, the spotlight was very much on women, and women were harassed.
The women were on... They had to stay. The men were on the run. Now there were some women on the run as well, but the women mostly stayed put in the homes, and they had to face down those Black and Tans.
Mm.
They stole, they stole things. They stole food. They stole animals. They stole mementos. Not all of them were bad, of course, but unfortunately, the bad ones really. Left their mark,
But there was sexual violence as well, which wasn't spoken about for many years afterwards.
Yeah, sexual violence and sexual menace.
Mm.
That whole threat of it, the possible threat of it, the fear of it.
That's a very good way to describe it, actually. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. They put up with that, and then they couldn't even speak about it afterwards because it wasn't spoken about, as you said. Nobody. Mm. Nobody mentioned that sort of thing.
Dan's, some of the interviews, some of the videos, of course, is still there for people to watch. That sense of bravado, how close was that to his genuine character, do you think, Niamh?
That's a hard one, isn't it?
Yeah.
There was a man who came to our centenary, Bernard Peters, he lives in Clonmel, very lovely man. He met Dan when Bernard was 16 years of age, and Dan was a much older man, and he was fishing down in Slaheen, and the two of them were into the fishing, and they got very friendly. And I spoke to Bernard last week, and he was saying he just had the greatest respect for him. He thought he was just a wonderful, kind person. So, I suppose we can all segment off parts of our personality as we need.
Mm.
And Dan could be hard when he needed to be, and he could be kind and loving he was always incredibly loyal.
Mm.
We have to say that about him. It's just very difficult to understand how you can do it. But I suppose in those circumstances, Fran, you do what you feel you have to do at the time. And he was a man who was able to make peace with everything he did.
And Niamh, when you look at My Fight for Irish Freedom, in terms of that, some people putting a little bit of doubt on some of the detail there, for example. I mean, how seriously should we take that as a piece of history, if you know what I mean?
Yeah. I suppose with all pieces of history, you have to double check everything.
Mm, yeah.
I think for most people, My Fight for Irish Freedom, certainly for me, it was my true introduction, apart from what I learned at my, around our kitchen table at home. This was where I learned the whole picture of the war.
Yeah, me too.
And
me too.
Yeah. I mean, it is a brilliant read. Mm. It is absolutely brilliant. The individual pieces of detail might necessarily be 100% accurate, but it wasn't written as history. It was written as a memoir. And in fact, Dan, it was written so quickly after the events we're talking about. It was published in 1924, and literally you know, that was very quick, considering Dan had been involved in the Civil War, which only ended in 23. So we, you know, it was put together very quickly. I think there are some inaccuracies in it, and but nonetheless, it is an absolutely riveting account of the period,
and still is, even when you reread it. It still is, isn't it?
Yeah. You get sucked in every single time. Yeah, I love it. I really do, and I will forgive all the little inaccuracies. But you know, in comparison to the likes of the. And again, another film I love. I love the Michael Collins film. But Dan's book is absolutely 100% more accurate than the Michael Collins film is.
Than the movie, of course, yeah. One thing that Tracy Hogan brought up on the programme yesterday, Niamh, and I'm very interested in your thoughts on this, is that he feels that enough isn't made of the destinations. And he's talking about Solihull, and he's talking about Knocklong and the like as well. Your feelings on that would be what? That, I mean, unless you knew these places, you wouldn't know them, if you know what I mean.
Absolutely, yeah. It's very difficult to know what the correct approach is, because when you go to Solihull Beg, and if you're going there on a day that there isn't a commemoration, it's a beautiful, lonely spot. And you stand there and you can almost feel what it was like in January, that day in January when the ambush took place. And that is beautiful. And if you were to make something much bigger of the place, you might lose that that feeling, that sadness, that loneliness you feel there. It's tied to how it looks as well.
Very good point. So you're saying the subtlety of this sort of commemoration is very important.
In a way, I feel like we should all be there, and it should be so well known, and there should be buses of people going there. But on the other side, what are you going to lose if you do that? So again, maybe there's a balance to be found. We need to have a lot of discussions on how we do it properly, because you know, due honour should be given to these places. But we don't also want to lose that.
Of course, in context, then Knocklong. I mean, there was so much death. It's hard to do something subtle about that too, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I suppose Knocklong, being a railway station, is much more a place. I think that could be sort of done in a bigger, brighter way than Solihull Beg. But you know, Knocklong. I know what you're saying about the death, but Knocklong was really such an important point in the war because it changed the war from being that an outrage, a series of outrages, to being this noble act.
It changed people's thinking completely, didn't it?
It absolutely did. Yeah. Up Knocklong, that was still heard years, you know, during the war. Yeah. In 1921, people were still saying that, up Knocklong. Countess Markievicz said it in Sligo, apparently, at a talk.
Did she?
Wow. So it was everywhere. And, you know, it was a rallying cry for the people. Now, just, of course, sadly, around the same time as the wedding, just a little bit before, was the execution of Ned Foley and Patrick Maher in Mountjoy for the Knocklong affray, as it was called at the time. So, we have to remember the sadness as well as the sort of glory bit.
Of course. What else is planned, by the way, Niamh? Have you any other plans?
Well, now, it's all, I suppose the next one that's on my calendar anyway, Fran, is the Liam Lynch commemoration up in the Knockmill Downs. That's a big one. Of course, last Sunday, the day after we had our great celebration of the wedding, we were down in Drangan and we marked the death of Commandant Dinny Sadler down there. He was accidentally shot the day after the wedding in Clunin. So we had that sad one, and then July 25th, we're going to mark Liam Lynch, and of course that's a Civil War commemoration, which is of course, you know, it's a very it's going to be a very difficult couple of years ahead of us as we try and remember both, everything to do with that.
And it will be divisive no matter what we do, I suppose, where that is concerned. I would recommend to people, by the way, to go on that Liam Lynch walk from Newcastle, because it gives the sense of the sort of terrain that these guys were on their own in, and very stark, very, you know, like they were hardy people.
They're much hardier than us, because I'll tell you, sure. Fran, poor Liam Lynch was shot in April and we're doing it in July, and there's a reason we're doing it in July.
For the weather.
You don't want to be up there in April.
It's
so sad that Liam Lynch and all of these men and women did so much great work in the War of Independence, and then you know, just a short while later, they were fighting their own men and women who had fought on the same side were now enemies.
Heartbreaking, Niamh.
It's absolutely heartbreaking
indeed. Yeah. I must leave it. I could talk to you all day, Niamh. And thank you so much for your time this morning, and well done on that commemoration in the New Inn area there over the weekend.
Thanks, Niamh. Can I just say a big thank you to John Long, whose brainchild the whole commemoration in Rose Green was. Without John, it would never have happened. He'd been talking about this for months and months, and he made it happen on Saturday. So.
All right. Well done indeed, and well done to yourself. Thanks, Niamh. Thank you.
Thank
and bye-bye to you now. Bye-bye. Niamh Hassett there, author, historian, and a great storyteller as well. We'll be back in a moment.
If it matters to you, it matters to us. Call TIP today on 1-800-938-007. TIP FM's Tip Today with Fran Curry.
In association with Slattery's of Pecan, Tipperary's main Peugeot dealer. Slattery's Garage Pecan, the name you can trust for over 50 years in the Premier County. Slattery'sGarage.ie.